anyways, let's get started. So we're up to the new Gemara. So we'll start with, we'll attempt to go through Gemara Rashi Tosfos as much as we can, but we'll dwell on points that need to be dwelled on that come up along the way. Okay, so we are now on top, almost 10 lines down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines down, if I counted. On Daf Beis Amud Beis. We didn't get that far yet. Itmar, says the Gemara was said. We have a Mimer. Hamenakesh v'hamashke mayim l'zrayim b'shabbos. One who does menakesh and one who waters water into seeds on Shabbos. Okay, and we'll see these definitions in Rashi. There may be other definitions. Menakesh we generally translate as weeding. Okay, and in fact, Rashi, I mean, the Mefarish tells us, menakesh tolesh asavim ra'im, somebody who pulls up bad weeds or bad vegetation, mitoch hatovim, from among the good ones, v'chi akri lehu, and when you uproot them, when you take them out, samchi hani tfei. Presumably the good ones, these ones, actually sprout better. Okay, meaning you're taking out something that you don't want so that the other ones will grow better. Okay, that's what menakesh is. Again, we translate as weeding, which is pretty apt. Okay? V'hamashke mayim l'zrayim, or for Rashi, v'hamashke mayim bizrayim. Okay? What does that mean? Shezorek mayim bi'kare ha'asavim. You throw water on the roots of, again, vegetation. Okay? Throwing water on stuff. That's mashke mayim. Okay? So these are the two cases. What about these cases? Says the Gemara b'Shabbos, on Shabbos, meaning if you did menakesh or mashke mayim l'zrayim on Shabbos, Mishum mai masrinan bay. What should we warn you for? Okay. Says Rashi, Mishum mai masrinan bay. Again, fake Rashi. Demai melacha ka hashvinan le. Which melacha do we consider it? Devadai kotzer lo hashvinan. That certainly we don't consider it kotzer. She'eno miskaven litol ha'asavim. That what you're intending to do is not simply to take this, again, these particular weeds for yourself. Rather, your purpose is, again, you're attempting to improve the good vegetation in the field by taking out the bad ones. So says Rashi, kotzer is not even a hava amina. Okay, kotzer, the Gemara wouldn't even think to mention. Then, by the way, it tells us, Rashi, choresh v'zareya v'kotzer avos malachos hein v'periklal gadol. And all of these list of things, choresh, zareya, kotzer, ma'amer, etc., these are all avos malachos in Perek Kol Gadol, which is, again, the Perek in Shabbos over there, where you have the listing. Okay, Kol Gadol.
Why can't you think that taking out weeds is kosher?
So Rashi says, the first Rashi's answer is, Eino miskaven litol ha'asavim. Your goal is not to do that at all. So therefore, you wouldn't think that you violated kosher by doing so. This Rashi, and I have a comment on this over here. So Rashi's a little bit hard to understand.
You're pulling it out.
Correct. So the Rashi's hard to understand because Rashi makes it sound like if you're not miskaven, we don't warn you for that. And therefore you cannot be chaya for that, which by the way.
What about mutzah? Wouldn't the weeds be mutzah?
Yes, but we're talking about getting punished for this. We're talking about malacha. Meaning mukta.
Why are weeds mukta? You can't walk on weeds, move them.
No, you should hold them.
No, you can move you can't, them, but not pull
well,
them.
Well, the question is, well, this is a separate point of, in general, of Hilchas Mukta. You are allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. There is no question. You are allowed to walk on weeds on Shabbos. That doesn't make them unmukta, though. Things which are attached to the ground and growing from the ground are indeed mukta of various, potentially various sorts. But I had a deal, I think, if I remember correctly, this is totally way back in the memory banks, but if I remember correctly, I think there was an Aruch HaShulchan. It could have not been. So don't quote me on this. But I think there's an Aruch HaShulchan who says, well, it's not moving. Moving means when the entire body moves from one place, from point A to point B. It simply, it stays in the same place, but part of it moves. When part of it moves, but it remains anchored, that's not considered moving it. I have some memory of this. I'm not sure if this is really a thing or not. I wanted to, if this is the case, and again, I have this in my mind from somewhere. I don't know whose interpretation this was, where I saw it. I think it was Aruch HaShulchan, but I could be wrong. Now, if that's the case, I wanted to taina that maybe petting animals is not as bad as people think. Right? Petting animals is a serious question of mukta if it's not your animal. And maybe if it's a pet, it's a little bit better, a little bit whatever. It's a big shaila in the postgame. Certainly not something should be taken lightly. People's just. But I wanted to say, maybe there, if the hair is staying in the same place, you're just pushing your hand through the hair back and forth. It is not considered tilto muktzah, because it's tilto that's prohibited, right? Not nidgiyah. You can touch something if it doesn't move. You're not allowed to be metaltel it. So muktzah is a separate point here. The question is, why would we think that you're not at all violating a davar she'eino miskaven? So there's a couple of possibilities.
There's a different interpretation of Rashi, if I'm reading it right, in terms of what nachash is.
Yes, we have. So if you have on the sheet, if you have the sheet, I'm going to get to that in a moment. Rabbeinu Chananel has a different menachesh and a different one of the Mashke Mayim L'Zrayim. But we'll get to that in a minute. Just getting back to your question. Rashi says again, you would not have a hava mina to warn him because of kotzer and to be machayev because of kotzer because she'eino miskavein litol ha'asavim ela l'sakein atzav matovim shebesadeh. Now, Rashi may be going on the fact, okay, that this is a psik resha delo nichale. Meaning, factually speaking, Rashi is asserting when you have a weed, okay, it's a psik resha because you are definitely taking it out, but you don't want to have these weeds. What are you going to do with these weeds? Now you got to get rid of them another way. Okay, so Rashi
you
may be going.
You don't want it because you want the weed, but you want it. You don't want it in there, so it won't compete with the other roots.
Correct. That is a different malacha that's not kotzer. The Gemara, we haven't even said what the machlokas is yet. The machlokas between Rav and Rav Yosef is choresh or zoreya. So Rashi's just saying, why isn't it kotzer? Before we get to choresh and zoreya, wouldn't you think it was kotzer? Says Rashi, no, you wouldn't think it was kotzer. Why? So Rashi says, because you're not miskavin. What does it mean you're not miskavin? Rashi's point ultimately is, he's saying that in this...
putting the water on is not kotzer. That I know.
Correct.
Pulling out the weeds, why and can't that be kotzer?
Because Rashi is saying that darash einu miskavin, for which in this case, it will be not an Isra de'oraisa. Okay, it will not be an Isra de'oraisa. Therefore, the Hasra, presumably we're talking about to get, as we'll talk about in the Gemara, which is a big deal, Malka is to get Skila, to get something, right? We're talking about a Hasra for a de'oraisa. So Rashi is saying there's no way that you can have this being a de'oraisa. So forget about it. Don't worry with that. On the other hand, if you look in many other Rishonim, and again, I have that over here in different places. If you look at it, it's in source number 7. If you look in Tosfos, Vitzarech Le'etzim, which is way down there, right? If you jump down, the Gemara later on, just to bring this point forward right now, the Gemara later on talks about a case of pruning where you need the wood. And in there you are going to be chayav for kotzer. Says Tosfos, Avalim Ein. Everyone see Tosfos with Tzarech Le'etzim? Tosfos de Ramachal with Tzarech Le'etzim? Okay, it's more than just past halfway down. Avalim Ein Tzarech Le'etzim. But if you don't need what you are detaching from the ground, Lo Nomar Bo Dechayev Mishum Ktsira. We will not say they're Chayev because of Ktsira. And then he doesn't say Rashi's reason, he says a different reason. Delo Damya Lektsira Dekotrin Lamachal. He says it's not similar to ktsira. What is ktsira? Ktsira is not cutting off from the ground, but harvesting. Harvesting implies that you want it. But if you're just cutting it off from the ground and you don't need it either for food or for anything, okay? V'ilav shekotrin l'tzorach gufo, pater, delo mechayev afilu mishum tolda, detolda tzorach she'edam ila'av malacha. Tosfos says there's not even a tolda of kotzer there. Why? Because a tolda needs to be similar to the av malacha. There are certain malachos, okay, whether, again, Tosfos is still saying that it's dirabanan, and that's why and Tosfos is really agreeing to Rashi, or whether or not Tosfos is saying something different, we do have a concept in certain malachas that the kavana makes the malacha. Meaning, we have general laws of Shabbos. We have laws of kilach haryad. We have laws of grama. We have laws of malacha she'en tzirich legufa. We have laws of darash einu miskavein. But there's certain malachos which have definitions which overrule some of those rules. For example, one classic example, grama. Every case of zore or every case of bishul is grama. What do you do to be mechayev for bishul? You take a pot, you put it on the stove. I didn't cook the food. What do you mean? The heat that was underneath the pot warmed up the water and it... Okay. The rule is, again, sometimes it overrules. There's also a notion I saw in the Achronim many years ago when I gave my most infamous titled shiur. Toilet paper on Shabbos, terrible or terrible. So during that shiur, I posted a link to that this week because someone had a pun on Facebook. It was a rabbi saying achievement unlocked because they made some pun on kippahs or something. Kippah, keeper, I don't know, or something like that. So I posted a link to the shiur but I had someone walk over to me in the street and say, the only reason I listened to that shir was because it has such a good title. But anyway, in that shir, we reference, there is a notion, one of the possible malachos of cutting toilet paper is mechatech. Okay, mechatech, what does mechatech mean? To cut to size. Okay, and the poskim debate, if someone tears something along perforated lines, it's going to be measured in a very specific way. And maybe that'll be considered mechatech, cutting to size. Okay, the point is, however, the poskim note, if you do not cut to a specific size, meaning you actually cut something, you slice something, you have, even on leather, the original malacha, but you do not care what size it is, it doesn't need to be a specific size, not only is it not an Isra de'oraisa, it's not an Isra at all. Okay? Meaning, the kavana is part of the malacha. Again, the kavana is part of the malacha. It could be, this would be a very novel read of Tosfos, I acknowledge, but it could be that Tosfos and some of the other Rishonim are saying, no. In order to be kotzer at all, kotzer needs you to have some use for what you're harvesting. If you don't have any intention to use what you're harvesting, it's not harvesting at all. It's not the malacha of kotzer. Again, there are two possible other things that it might be here that we're going to talk about, but it's not the malacha of kotzer. Okay, that's a possibility. Again, it's hard to tell whether Rashi and Tosfos agree in this point or not, but the point is, in either way, it's impossible to have a d'oraisa of kotzer in this case. Why? Because you don't need what you have.
If yes. You actually break a branch while you're climbing a tree.
Yes.
Okay, what is the Easter there for breaking the branch? Isn't that kotzer? Separating something. And you're not getting...
I'd have to go back and look. If I remember correctly, that would be what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the general question is then, presumably we'd have to establish it, like Poskim do in some cases, where you actually want the wood. Similar to the case of the animal. That would be the only...
You can't climb trees because you might break the branch.
Maybe you'll want the branch afterwards. We have it in similar cases. Pulling out hair. I'll give you an example of this, okay?
Yeah.
Pulling hair.
For most of us here, that's not applicable.
I'm aware. That includes me. That includes me.
Yes.
Worse than most of you, for the record. Okay?
You pull it out of your beard.
Yeah. Right. So pulling out of your beard or biting your nails.
Yes.
Right? Shulchan Aruch seems to say that it's an Isra d'oraisa. The question is, Tosfos say, very clearly, Malach Shein Tzirich L'Gufa. Right? I'm trying to think, where was I going to go with this?
So Shulchan Aruch doesn't Paskin like Tosfos?
No, but the problem is elsewhere he does seem to. He does seem to Paskin like Tosfos. It's not even like Tosfos, it's like a Rishimon versus a Rehuda. I mean, Tosfos says the Mishnah, which says that, is going like a Rehuda, who's Mechayev Malach Shein Tzirich L'Gufa, whereas we Paskin like a Rishimon. Okay, and Shulchan Aruch, if I remember correctly, seems to elsewhere Paskin like that. There's a whole, all the cases, every case in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos has to do with Malach Shein Tzirich L'Gufa, has some sort of controversy around it. But the Pashtus is Shulchan Aruch Paskin like that. Everyone's bothered, what's the story over here? Okay? So there are some poskim who say, yeah, it's talking about where you want the nail or you want the hair. It's a very dochak way to say it, but sometimes that's what we say. So maybe the case of the climbing of the tree is where you want it, or perhaps maybe it's going to knock off a dead branch that will improve the tree. I don't know exactly what the gzera is. I don't know if it expressly says kotzer. I'd have to look up the Gemara. I don't remember offhand.
Okay, I remember.
It's the same as pulling the weed here because it's going to make the surrounding vegetation better.
Correct, and that is a real malacha that you have. That's a real bona fide malacha d'oraisa. That's my point.
It's not kotzer.
It's not kotzer, but I don't know whether or not expressly says kotzer there.
Right.
Right?
Because it does.
Where?
Right here.
No, but we're talking about with the branches.
Correct, with the branches. Here. I don't know. I simply don't remember.
So I'm giving you some homework.
Yeah. So now I have homework. If I remember, you have to tell me at the end. The bottom line is, again, I would think that to be a very novel read of Tosfos to say that kotzer is only when you need it. But if you don't need or want the object that you are harvesting, it's not kotzer at all. But it remains a possibility in the language of Tosfos, right? Especially
when you read Rashi, I understood Rashi exactly like Tosfos. He says Shulamit Kavein means you don't need it.
Correct. And I acknowledge that they could be very easily be saying the same thing. Right? It could be very easily being the same thing. The bottom line is, again, there's no way to make a dough rice out of it. So Rashi says, we're not even going to get into kotzer. Okay? We're not even getting into kotzer. Now, let's just one more comment is the different definitions of Rabbeinu Hanano. Okay? So if you have on the fake source sheet, which is just a compilation of Rishonim, Rashi has this, again, as proper weeding. Rabbeinu Hananel says, And you can find it written teeny, teeny tiny. It's the third line of Rabbeinu Hananel in traditional Gemaras. It's Mar HaMenachesh Perush HaChofer Beis Hazaraim. HaChofer Beis Hazaraim. If you dig up a place where things are planted, for him, it's actually digging up the ground. Okay? It's digging up the ground. Now, number two, what does he say is
so how is that different than Choresh?
It's not. We're going to say that both of these are Choresh. The reason why it will be different is Rabbeinu Hananel is talking about a case that's very clearly Choresh, whereas Rashi's case of weeding is not very clearly Choresh. Right? If we're looking at Menachesh, again, the Gemara is going to discuss, is this Choresh or is this Zoreya? Right? For Rashi, it's kind of maybe a little bit Choresh.
Because he's loosening up the soil.
Because when you are weeding, you're loosening up the soil a little bit. For Rabbeinu Hananel, it's like, whoa, this is so obviously Choresh. You're literally loosening dirt. Okay. On the other hand, Hamamshich Mayim Lizraim. Okay. He says, Hamamshich Mayim Lizraim. You're literally watering seeds. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, it's very interesting. Nobody yelled at me when I said this. What does Rashi say? Shezorik Mayim. What's the next two words?
The roots
of the plant. Why does Rashi say you throw water on seeds?
Or you water the earth.
Yeah, why doesn't Rashi say you have seeds planted and you pour water on them? Right, that's what Rabbeinu Hananel seems to be saying, right? Hamamshich mayim l'zrayim b'shabbos.
Because you're breaking up the soil.
You know why? So I would humbly suggest that Rashi would acknowledge that, you know what, in these cases of Rabbeinu Hananel, they are actually certainly one or the other malacha. Meaning, according to Rashi, if you took water and poured it on seeds, that's Zoreya, the end. According to Rashi, and again, when we say Rashi, we just mean the commentary on Zohar the Gemara. According to Rashi, if you actually loosen dirt around the ground, that's Choresh, not possibly Zoreya. Only in these two middle sort of, I'm not sure cases, that's where Rashi says they argue. Masha'inkin, Rabbeinu Hananel says, no. These two actions, even though it seems to be almost obviously one, but not the other, since it has a slight possibility that it might be the other, they argue there as well. Let's see the actual machlokas before we move on. Mishumai Rastrinan Bey, what do we warn the guy about? Rabba Amar, Rabba says Mishum Choresh. We warn the guy because of Choresh. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says we warn him, Mishum Zoreya, because of Zoreya. Again, Choresh we translate as plowing. Rav Yosef, again, says it's because of Zoreya. Zoreya we generally translate as planting.
So, see that it's dealing with pouring water over the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Then where does Choresh?
Let's read the Gemara. Let's read the Gemara. Says the Gemara, and this whole Gemara is very interesting on a number of levels, including some issues that we dealt with, some that we didn't deal with. But let's take a look. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba. Rabba says to Rabbi Yosef, Kavasei didi mistabra. My opinion makes more sense. Why? Ma darko shel choresh lirapuye ara. Just as the manner of plowing is lirapuye ara. Rashi says lirapuye means lirakech, to soften the ground. What does choresh do? It softens the ground and prepares it for planting, really. Okay? Hainami, these two, mirapuye ara. These also soften the ground. How does weeding soften the ground? Again, you're digging up a little bit of the dirt. Okay? How does watering things soften the ground? Well, when you pour water on the ground, it gets soft. So says Rabbah, this is the malacha of Choresh, and therefore, if you see someone about to do this, you warn them, don't do Choresh. If you do Choresh, you will get punishment X, depending on when it is.
Okay. He's not interested in softening the ground. He wants to give water to the seeds.
How do you know? And second of all,
you don't water the ground, you water the seeds.
I'm watering the ground near the seeds.
Watering the seeds. So how
the water hits the ground before it gets to
the seeds are buried under the ground.
Yeah. It seeps through the ground.
The question is, does the person not gain, seriously speaking, does the person not gain from the ground also being saturated with water? Of course they gain from that. So at the very best, even if it's a Darv Shein HaMiskavin, it's a Psik Reish HaDini Chalei, which again could still potentially be either considered Kavana and a deoraisa. Okay, so certainly I think it's not unreasonable to say that even if it's a fringe side benefit, it's still one that is possibly intended, and if not directly intended, indirectly intended, which is anyways going to be a deoraisa. But ultimately, don't forget that point. That's a very critical point in understanding their machlokas that we're going to get to in a little bit. Okay.
Okay, you have two separate malachas, menakesh and mashka.
Yes.
They're not malachas. They're acts.
They're acts.
They're acts. Malacha, no, isn't. They are malacha. We don't know what av malacha. Okay, I'm using the wrong phrase.
No. But maisim. They're maisim.
They're maisim.
Yes.
Okay. Why do they both have to be under the same malacha?
Excellent question.
It seems like they're assuming it is, and the question is which.
Correct. So that's a fascinating question. According to Rashi, the answer is because these are two cases that are kind of in the middle. So the Gemara is grouping them together because they're not clearly one way or the other. According to Rabbeinu Hanan, it's a lot harder to understand. It's a much more bothersome question. These are two very disparate acts, right? One is I'm watering the ground. The other one is I'm messing up the dirt.
So when you're watering seeds, which is...
Right, which is really close to... Again, so it's more of a kasha on Rabbeinu Hanan. Rashi, I would say it's less of a kasha. I did see brought in the... If you see in source number 2, right? I didn't look up this Tosfos. I just briefly saw it in the Chavrusa Gemaras. They had a Ha'ara from Tosfos and Shabbos that these were actually both things that were done in the Mishkan, but we didn't actually make Malachos named after them because they weren't Chashev enough. Okay, I have to look up the Tosfos. I think that probably is, historically speaking, why they were grouped together. Meaning these were two things that we know were done in the Mishkan and we decided not to name Malachos after them. Well, then they got to fall in somewhere. Why didn't we do that? Okay. Okay.
It seems to me like the dispute between these two Amoraim is you have these two acts grouped together in the Itmar.
Yeah.
And the question is, what's the target of those two mices? Is it the earth more or the seeds more? Mm-hmm. If it's the earth, it's Choreish. And if it's the seeds, it's Oreya.
So you're saying it's on the Chefza. It's on the Chefza.
It's on what's your intent? Or, I don't know if it's what is physically being affected here?
Both are physically being affected. They're both physically.
What's primarily being affected?
Ah, okay. I don't think that's a bad svara. I think that's actually a good svara. We'll see the svaras. I came up with three svaras of the Rishonim to explain this machlokas. But again, let's first read what they say to each other. Okay, so again, what did Rabba say to Rabbi Yosef? Mine makes more sense. Why? Because Hainami Marapuye Ara, he's also soft in the ground. Amar of Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef turns back to him, he says, no. Kavaseidi Mistabra, my opinion makes more sense. Ma darko shel Zorea litzimuche pera, just as what does Zorea do? It causes fruits to grow. So too over here, Hachanami mitzameach pera. Here too, it causes these things to grow. It causes the good vegetation to grow, and it causes, again, the seeds to grow. Okay? This is their machlokas. Now, what is the underlying machlokas here? So we have one theory. One theory is, what is the ikur, basically? Would you say it has to do with your kavana or no? You threw that around.
Well, the question is, does it depend on the intent of the one who's doing this watering or weeding?
Right.
Or it doesn't matter what its intent was. He did an act, and that's it. It's just an objective act that might be, that's forbidden.
So let's take a look at... First of all, let's take a look at Tosfos.
It seems also that if you give the wrong Hasra, then...
That's a separate point. So let's catch up on Tosfos. Let's catch up on Tosfos, okay? Says Tosfos, number one, let's go back up to Mishum Mai Masrinan, okay? Says Tosfos, De'ein Adam Loke, a person does not get Malkus, Velo Ne'arag and does not get Misa, Ela Behasra, Shemasrinan Bo, Lo Sase Hach Isura. It has to be only with Asra that we warn the person, don't do this specific Esser. Kin mafkinan b'Sanhedrin mikra, like we learn in Maseches Sanhedrin from a Pasuk, titzorech lefarish shem ha'Esser behedya. That you need to say the explicit type of Esser. So presumably, again, getting the name of the Malacha wrong would ruin it for you. There's a little bit more to talk about there, but I want to move on to the next Tosfos because he directly addresses the issue we're working on.
Say what you're doing as a Malacha of Shabbos.
It might be.
You have to be more specific.
It might be. It's a minchas chinuch, a whole discussion. Let's not get into that, though. The point is, if you do the wrong one, it doesn't work. Okay, whether or not if you do it ambiguously, I can also give Asra Safik. I wrote at the bottom here, Shavu Abba, O Binyan Hasra, maybe Sugat Asra Safik, the Kan Kamachayev. Okay, fine. Let's read the second Tosfos. Second Tosfos is very out of character, very achronish in nature. He says the following. Okay, what is this machlokes between Rabban and Rav Yosef? Mine makes more sense because you're doing my thing. No, mine makes more sense because you're doing my thing. What are you talking about? Says Tosfos, Kamarapuye ara debasar ikur hamalacha azlinan. We go after the main malacha, vidomele choresh. and therefore it's similar to Choresh. V'Rabbi Yosef, and when it comes to Rabbi Yosef, af al gav the ikr malacha dom el choresh. Even though it's true, the actual ikr malacha does seem like choresh, says Tosfos, and Tosfos must be learning both of these cases in a manner that makes them seem more like choresh. Okay, or for sure talking about the menakesh. Okay,
because you're not causing the seed to grow; you're having an effect on the earth. That's the act, the mice.
Correct.
You're not making the seed grow.
Very good. Okay? Meaning the actual act right now only accomplishes X. However,
Ikr Malacha? What does that mean?
We're going to get to it. He's right about to say. For Rabbi Yosef Avagav, the Ikr Malacha, and this is sort of what you just mentioned, Ikr Malacha is what actually was affected right now. If you pause time, click the pause button on the scene. You click the pause button, what happened? Did the seed grow? Not one bit. Didn't grow at all. Did the ground get softer? 100% in both of these cases. That's probably what Ikr Malacha means. Now, he says, Rav Yosef, afal gav de Ikr Malacha dom el choresh. Even though the main Malacha is similar to choresh, machsheves hanefesh lav lirapuye ara. The thought of your soul was not to soften the ground. Uvehachi pligi, says Tosfos. This is their machlokes. Dirabba savar lebasar hamaise midaminan la vilo achara machshava. Rabba says, when you have a choice between two malachas, and those are very questionable words, when you have a choice between two malachas, and one of them is clearly accomplished in the act, then that's the one that you get warned for. Masha'ein kein, v'Rav Yosef savar, basar machshava azlinan. He says, no, it goes after what you think, what you're focused on. Dehavya ikr, that is the main one, v'lo azlinan basar hadimyon, and we don't go after, dimyon here doesn't mean your imagination, meaning we don't go after what people seeing you do it would think, basically. We don't go after the maisa. Again, Rabba says we go after the maisa. Rav Yosef says we go after the machshava. Now, this is Tosa's interpretation of what the machlokas is.
It's objective, but you don't know someone's machshava. You can assume why they're doing it.
Correct.
Unless
people
you
don't
ask them, you don't know.
Correct. But I think in general, again, if you're taking a Rabbeinu Hananelish approach, okay, people do not pour water on seeds to soften the ground. It's just not a normal manner of doing it. It's
but
very
sometimes people didn't they used to when they had earthen floors they'd pour water on it so dust wouldn't come up.
Yeah, but that's a separate point. Then the person
there
would
be
doing darashein or miskaven.
There could be a reason to do it other than for
yes, but 98%. So I'll say something that I think is important. Tosfos doesn't stress explicitly. We're talking about how to warn someone here, right? We're not talking about. As much. We may also be conceptually talking about which malacha it is and everything else, and it may apply to many other cases beyond hasra. But ultimately, here our machlokas is about hasra. If you are trying to stop someone from doing an avera, do you tell them don't do that action because it's a malacha, or do you tell them don't do the thing that you're trying to do, which is a malacha? Do you see how there could be, when it comes to hasra, bedafka, I think it's easier to see these two positions that Tosfos explains. Do we say, don't do that action of X, which is Meleches Y? Or do we say, don't do your intention of making these things grow, which is Malacha Z? Z for Zorea, I guess.
That raises like a real, whole problem issues to say it's Machshava, not the Maisa.
Okay, why?
Well, because if somebody plans to do a certain machshava and then he ends up doing something else, then he's chayev on the original maisa, but he didn't do the original maisa; he did something else.
Correct. We're talking about where this maisa leads to the outcome of the machshava. Again, like I said earlier, how do you water a plant? No. Obviously not. Melechas machshavas asra Torah for Shabbos. Meaning when we're talking about Shabbos, obviously Tosfos is not saying where you did a different maisa than was where your machshava. That's not how Tosfos is explaining Rav Yosef. Tosfos is explaining Rav Yosef that when you did a maisa, which could theoretically be interpreted as two different malachos, we're going to choose the malacha to warn you about, even though it's not immediate. We're going to choose the malacha that in 99% of cases is what the person intends. Because how do you water a plant without making the ground wet?
Okay, so the problem with that is when the Edim come, you gave the hatra.
Yeah.
Edim come now.
Yeah.
Edim see him water or do whatever.
Yes.
Okay.
And they say, don't do Zorea.
No, that was the Hatra'ah.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't have to be the same people that witnessed him doing the actual act.
Okay.
Okay. When he goes to Beit Din, eventually, mm-hmm. he could say, I had no intent of planting. I had intent of, you know, the Harisha, and I didn't get warned. You can't do Hatra'ah on something that you can't prove later in the Beit Din.
So I think that's more of a Hasra'ah question, which I'm going to defer to our further discussion of Hasra'ah next week. I think that's not the case, though, meaning anytime a person can make that claim when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. Right, any time you can do. My intention was, even though I did this Maisa, that wasn't my intention. The point is, when you get warned not to do a Maisa, and then you do that Maisa, okay, if that Maisa itself was a Maisa Isser, and again, I should be clear, Rav Yosef does not deny that you actually violated, but well, he may not deny. Rav Yosef may not deny that you actually violated Choresh. He's just saying you should be warned for the one that'll have a stronger impact. If you warn a guy, if a guy is about to go and plant seeds, and you say, don't plow. So what are you talking about? I'm not plowing. Are you crazy? That's all the Rabbi Yosef is saying. He's just saying a manner of warning him. In terms of being held up in court, ultimately there's a machlokas. Which one do you warn for? Can you warn for both? Maybe. And we'll talk about that later in the Gemara. But at this point, we're saying you got to warn for one. Are you going to choose this one or this one? Each one has...
Well, you have to, maybe because it's an act that could be viewed as this or that malacha, yeah. In order to do a proper hasra, you have to say, I'm warning you, what you're about to do could be either this or that malacha, and it's dangerous for you.
Right. The question is, what will fall into hasra. The question, right. These are questions of hasra, which again, I really wanted to go into next week.
Yeah.
Because the question is, what is the purpose of said hasra? Is it about covering loopholes? Is it simply about warning about an act? What about hasra safek? These are all big, big questions that ultimately will actually have
hasra,
to...
But it's in definition of malacha in each category.
Yes.
Okay, you have definitions. And now yes. The Gemara is throwing in, okay, what if a guy does this?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't neatly fit into any of the categories.
Right.
And it might be more than one category. Right. Now but, what do we do with that?
Correct. But my point is you need to have more knowledge of hasra in order to determine what the halacha of a hasra is. Meaning if, let's say, for example, okay, I'm not saying this, and again, we'll get into it next week. Hasra safek is not a good hasra. So then maybe you just threw out every case by saying both of them, right? Meaning if you're warning someone, you're not sure what they're going to do, okay, that could be a problem.
No, but here you have reasonable people looking at the same act and disagreeing as to what it is.
No, as to what you should warn the person for.
Maybe they're disagreeing with the purpose of Hatra'ah. The purpose of Hatra'ah is to get the person not to do the act at all. Then saying it one way has more of an effect than the other. So we're not yes. talking about what will actually cause it to be prosecuted at Beit Din, but we're saying, what can I tell you that would stop you from doing
correct.
This act?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And if you look, okay.
How come neither one, sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but how come the issue is not one, which one has a more chamor punishment?
They're the same.
Same
punishment.
I mean, first of all, they're literally the same punishment. Number two, you don't want to warn someone with a different punishment. Then that also is not a good hasra.
I'm just saying, if you're going to use
here, we're actually lucky that we know what exactly what punishment you're getting in either case.
In other words, you'd rather use an av malacha than a tolda. If the choice is between using an av malacha of one malacha and a tolda of another malacha,
why?
But hasra for the av malacha.
Same punishment. It's not same punishment.
It's the same thing.
You have to do what's accurate. What the guy? You have to warn about what the guy's doing.
Well,
you have to warn again. You have to warn on the maisa. You have to warn, don't do this action because you will violate, again, whether the malacha that you're tying to it is the one violated directly in the action or only by the machshava. Again, I think that can work more within the question of hasras, which we'll get into. If you look over here, there's a very interesting Tosas Rid that I quoted in footnote 4, right? Tosas Rid says, if you don't tell him which malacha it is, he's going to say, it's probably mutter. Okay, I think that logic is equally applied to if you tell him the malacha that he's not doing, he'll say, I'm not doing that. Yeah, I have to see these inside. I'll bring them on a source sheet next week when we get into more of the Hasra discussion. But ultimately, let's summarize what we know, okay? We have the following, okay? We have a case. Either a case which is two cases which are very ambiguous as to whether they're Zoreya or Choresh, which is, again, Rashi's interpretation. They're more ambiguous cases. Or they're Rabbeinu Hananel's case.
Can you repeat what Rabbeinu
Hananel? Rabbeinu Hananel says, okay, chofer beis hazraim, digging stuff up, v'amamshich mayim lizraim. And you let water, mamshech is something, again, where you bring the water in, you allow the water to have a pathway to the seeds. Okay? So, in these cases, again, even though they seem to be, one is very clearly chofer, and one is very clearly, well, choresh, and one is very clearly zoreas, it's not the case. Simply not the case. And again, the Gemara has a discussion about this. What should you warn the person for? Okay? Why do you need to warn them correctly? So that, again, they can get the punishment, because if you give them the wrong hasra, they're not going to be punishable in court. But number two, we're also bringing up the element, the possibility of the hasra is intended to distance them. And therefore, we have a machlokas. What is the main thing that you should be warning for here? Should you warn based on the act that is happening now? Or should you warn based on the outcome that is coming later? Again, you're telling him not to do this act. Again, according to all opinions, you're telling him, don't put that water on the ground. The question is, why not? Rabba says, you go after the right now. Rabba says you go after the action. Rav Yosef says you go after the svara, your machshava, what you think. Now, I should note, the Ritva is a slight modification of this. The Ritva doesn't tie it into machshava versus maisa. He ties it into now versus later. Okay? Meaning it's a little bit easier simply because we're not attempting to read the person's mind. Okay? I think that's what was bothering people a little bit. So for the Ritva is what's happening now and what's going on later. Okay, that's basically, again, the Ritva's modification. But ultimately, these are the svaras that we have.
According to the Ritva, where it's not based on your machshava,
yes,
the later malacha is going to be Zoreya.
Yes.
Why would, if he's right in his interpretation, why would, whichever Amora said, warn on Zoreya, why would you say that and not on the first thing? If you're going to warn someone about what they're doing, why skip part one and only warn about part two? If part two is not more important than part one, they're equally important.
What do you mean important? What do you mean by important?
Machshava is your whole intention of why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And that happens to be the second thing that's going to happen. The seeds are going to grow, the fruit's going to grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing that's going to happen is the earth is going to get softened.
Okay.
It's going to affect the earth before it affects the seed.
Yeah.
So the first thing is the earth, the second thing is the seed. But it has nothing to do with machshava, like the Ritva says.
Mm-hmm.
Then why would anyone give a hasra on the second act that's going to occur as opposed to the first act that's going to occur?
Why would anyone give it on the first act as opposed to the second act?
The Ritva should say, you do it on the first thing. That's the first thing you're going to be over.
Why? Again.
Why not?
But why would we say, again, there's two malachas. Why should it matter which one's first, which one's second? And second of all, it could be, and again, I'm going back into hasra mode for a moment, but the machlokas
maybe
could
the
be then, consider the implication of your actions. You are going to cause this to grow. I'm not bothered, meaning I don't see why you'd have to say the first one temporally.
When does take place?
It doesn't matter.
When it actually grows? Or before it actually grows?
You are chaya for doing the act which causes it to grow later.
Which we assume it's going to grow later.
Yes.
What if you do that act?
Mm-hmm.
Still chayav.
And you assume it's going to grow, and it doesn't grow.
You're still chayav.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You do an act to promote growth where there's no growth that occurs.
And if it does not work, you're still chayav.
Like if it's a court case like now where something happens and the case is 10 years later in court, and you go back and see the field and nothing grew, so his defense attorney can't say nothing grew, so how can you put him
the
to death for trying to promote growth?
Okay, we're dealing with hatra. The hatra is given as you do it. It's not
before
based,
you do it.
No, it's as you're plant, as you're watering it, you're doing the av malacha. If you plant a seed, let's
no, the hasra before you do the act.
Right.
Right.
You're about to plant, you're planting seeds. Let's keep it simple. You plant those seeds and they don't grow, you're still chayav because you planted seeds. You did an action.
But right. This isn't planting seeds. This is pouring.
I know,
water
but the point
the
is the point is pouring water on the earth. There's no reason just because one occurs first and one occurs second. Why is the one that occurs first more important? I don't see why that should be for hasra. Why should the one occurring first be more important to warn the person about? Ultimately,
why
this
the
action
thing that occurs second be more important.
That's my point. One says it's the first thing. One says it's the second thing.
And they both occur. What happens first and what happens second?
Everyone agrees what happens first, but that's
so
factual.
So the one who says. I think you should give a warning on issue number one, the first thing.
And the other guy,
the other person say, no, don't do it on number one.
Think of the future. I'd have to reread the Ritva again and side with his.
Why would they annul, not care about the first act and only the second act?
It's difficult. In other words, the concept of Misa that was Makshava makes sense. The Ritva is a little difficult.
I'm not particularly bothered by it. And again, you can put in all sorts of extra things. You can say the Ritva is motivated by Tosfos, but simply doesn't phrase it like Tosfos. I said it's a slight modification. I'll go back and look at the Ritva maybe. But ultimately, again, this is the point. This is the machlokas that we have here between Rav and Rav Yosef. There's one more opinion that I saw. There's the Sfas Emes. Obviously, Sfas Emes is fantastic. I forget who was just talking about him. Because he just learned the Gemara like as if, you know, no one came along and learned it before him. And he would say often very Rishonisha type things. It's oftentimes he'll disagree with Rishonim in these matters. It's not like one of these Achronim that's like always, like a Maharsha type, always explaining what Rashi and Tosfos say. Although it's ironic because we have a Maharsha that disagrees with Tosfos on the Sugya. But in the Sfas Emes, you see it over here in source number 8. Okay, source number 8, I have Tosfos. Okay. Yesh mefarshim kipshuto shapu'ula v'toela sa'achas nizbate l'chaverta v'rak kan yesh machlokas. They're saying in these particular two cases, one should be battled to the other. Okay, one meaning, they're saying don't make it about machshava versus maisa. Just in this case, you're doing one action and there's one accomplished thing that's happening and another accomplished thing that's happening. Is the benefit of the earth being wettened really significant compared to the fact that the water is going to get to the seeds and they're going to grow? No, that's not significant. So we're going to call it Zoreya. And the other one saying is the benefit of the fact that, the weeds are gone really so significant compared to the fact that you made the ground so soft? That's insignificant. Okay, so it could be, again, that's also machlokas. It's a little bit harder. It just kind of seems like there's less of an akudas machlokas according to those shitos, whereas according to Tosfos, there's a very clear svara behind. This one says machshava. This one says maisa. It's very, very brisker of Tosfos to say this. But ultimately, that's what goes on here. I'm now going to say something just to end off, because we're already at the end over here. And there's so much more to see. I mean, you see how little we did over here. I'm going to make a couple more comments just to see what we should go into next week. I see one thing we still have to go into next week is the whole sugyas of Hasra. What makes something Hasra? Certainly, I think that's too critical to continue to hide from. And to see, Tosfos Rid, what's the Makor for this? And this, again, the Minchas Chinuch that I mentioned, and the Gemara is really in Sanhedrin, Hasra Safik, etc. What's very interesting is I was bothered by this Gemara the first time I read it when I was doing it with Pekias. And I said, what on earth is the sugya doing here? Right? Well,
because Mashke was on the previous sukkah, but on Chol HaMoed.
Okay. So you're saying it's
ground for some reason.
Watering the ground, so watering should be here.
Watering, and it's an interesting case, but it's about a totally different area.
I mean, there are other. I mean, we could. Okay, I hear that. You know what? That's fair. I didn't think of that. There's no tircha element here, maybe, or maybe there is.
There is tircha,
but again, it's Shabbos, so it's Shabbos. A little bit off. I was also bothered by a Rashi later on. Not sure how to do this. Take a look at Rashi Zomer. Everyone see Zomer? Just a little Rashi. It's a one-word Rashi. Zomer v'tzarech le'etzim, right? There's a case where you're pruning and you need the wood. What does Rashi say? Zomer?
B'Shabbos.
What is Rashi adding with the word B'Shabbos? I was very bothered by that too when I read Rashi. So why does Rashi say this is happening on Shabbos? Duh. And I happened to be looking at something different in one of the Achronim, the Kilas Yaakov, the Stipler.
You think it's on Shemitah or something?
Closer. The Stipler, the Ritva has a Girsa, Itmar. What's his Gemara? Itmar. Hamenake Shemashke Mayim Lizraim B'Yom Tov. Says the Kilas Yaakov, Ritva says, again, this is going on Yantif. Says Kilas Yaakov, Tosfos also like that. Tosfos later on has more of a discussion of this, but talks about repeatedly about Malkus. Now tell me, if you warn someone not to do Malach on Shabbos, what punishment do they get? Skila, right? You kill them. But if you warn someone not to do Malach on Yantif, what do they get? Malkus. So he says Tosfos also must fall like this. I didn't see anybody comment on this Rashi.
Like this or have the gear so that it's about Yantif?
Meaning the whole discussion is about Yantif. Yantif is a much more logical discussion to have in Mor Katan than necessarily Shabbos. We'll see. This
it
will actually
Beza,
get to the
not,
core
not
in a Hanami, but it makes it a little bit better. Now, one last final thing. This is very raw, so it could be totally off base. I have a theory, however, which we may need to see a little bit more to flesh this out. My theory is that we are talking about why group these two together. My theory is this
which
is
Menakesh
and Mashke Maim Lezraim, right? It was a question we asked. We said again, according to Rashi, it makes sense. We brought this Tosfos that I didn't see, right? We brought the Tosfos that I didn't see that says, again, these are both in the Mishkan. I have a additional theory. It's based in Rabbeinu Hananel. Itmar, says Rabbeinu Hananel. HaMenakesh, Perush, HaChofer Beis Hazraim, VeHamamshich Mayim Lezraim B'Shabbos. Okay. I'm going to say now, and maybe next time we'll see what motivates me a little bit more, that this is talking about where you do one action with two distinct parts. You are digging in the dirt, which allows water to flow into the area where there are seeds. Again, you're digging in dirt. There's water over here. There's water pooling somewhere. Now I dig in the dirt. I am Minakesh, says Rabbeinu Hananel, Chofer Beis Hazraim. And therefore, just like we saw in the previous Amud, which is getting closer to what you were saying, just like we saw in the previous Amud, moving something with your foot a little bit and now the water gets in. So it's really, again, one act which is doing both of these things. It's not two different acts that happen to have the same halacha. It's Minakesh and resultingly Mashke Mayim Lezraim. In which case the machlokes gets very interesting to understand, right? Because every time we're doing the machlokes, you're kind of bothered. Like, why does it have to be the same? But if this is one action that you're doing, okay? You're moving around, loosening dirt around the seeds, and that allows water to get into where the seeds are, you suddenly understand, how should you warn the person who's doing this?
It's a good drush, but what's the vav tell you for the second with vahamashke? It sounds like there's separate.
And therefore, and therefore, and afterwards it gets
so
watered.
You're moving around.
Okay,
dirt,
second of all,
that's weeding something.
Then it should be umashke.
And look what Rabbeinu Hananel has. That's why I think Rabbeinu Hananel is a good raya, right? Hachofer Beis Hazraim. He doesn't say. Look what he does. Right? He says Hamenakesh. Perush hachofer beis hazraim, and then he doesn't say vehamashke perush vehamamshich. He just says, and you're thereby. It's right now very raw. I didn't think this through. I have a theory. How it will help us explain something else next week. So we'll see it really fleshed out then once I go through it. Yeah, maybe. Okay. Also, Rashi doesn't have a vav altogether. He just says mashke mayim bizraim. Okay, he doesn't even have Lizraim, it says Bizraim, which could also be a reason why Rashi had a different case there of sprinkling it on the things, meaning Bizraim is on things that were already planted as opposed to on seeds. That would be maybe Benizraim. Again, hard to say. I'm just throwing that out there because I think it might help us in the future weeks. But ultimately, again, to be misakim, to summarize what we have today, we dealt with a lot of small issues in this Gemara, which was my purpose today. That's why I gave you this sheet. And there's a lot more that we did not get to here. Unfortunately, we didn't get to the rest of the Gemara that I wanted to see. But the things that we did see, okay? We saw the Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel. What is happening here? Either it's Rashi that these are two very similar cases, which are smack halfway in between Choresh and Zoreh, and we don't know which one. Okay? Whereas Rabbeinu Hananel had them being more extreme. And again, possibly, in my opinion, the raw thought at the end of the shir that it's really one action, which is achieving these two things immediately. Okay? We also saw Rashi, who says why it's not kotzer. We contrasted that, or perhaps compared that to Tosfos, who says why it's not kotzer either. But the conclusion is it can't be kotzer. Here it's only one of these two, of either Choresh or Zoreya. Okay? We saw Tosfos and referenced other Rishonim in terms of, number one, the value of Hasra'a, and then specifically trying to explain the machlokas between Rav and Rav Yosef, Tosfos' big theory that it's Machshava versus Maisa. Again, explained in a number of different ways, and we contrasted that to the Ritva, who says now and later, and to the Sfas Emes, who says that it's just one is buttled to the other one. Again, not putting aside the fact that, again, this is a major, major svara coming from Tosfos, and Tosfos actually goes through the whole sugya with it. Very interestingly, again, you'll see Chayv Shtayim when we get to it next time, which are the questions of the Gemara. When we see that, we'll see how Tosfos continues with it. Ultimately, again, you can take a look at these. These are just some summaries of some Rishonim that we saw. And the other thing that we noted is the Girsa, the possibility of it being B'Yom Tov, and the value of it being B'Yom Tov in terms of Tosfos that you can get Malkus, not necessarily being Chayv Skila, the fact that it would make a little bit more sense to be talking about Yontif over here, and also why it explains Rashi that we haven't even seen the Gemara for, but Zomer B'Shabbos, that will also help us ultimately resolve the sugya at the end of the day, this possible Girsa. It's tremendous, tremendous value, because there's a Mahol Machlokes about Chiluk Malachos B'Yom Tov versus B'Shabbos. Anyways, we will, Emir Hashem, get to that in due time. But that's sort of what we covered today. And we'll continue next time with much more about Hasra'a. And if we get to the next part of the Gemara, great. If not, also great.
Shkoyach. What is the punishment for doing Malacha on Chol HaMoed?
Is Malacha on Chol HaMoed Doraisa or Derabanan?
If it's Doraisa, what is the punishment?
Presumably Malkus, no? Presumably.
Not Yom Tov, but
so that's where I was eventually thinking that it could be the case. It's hard to say that. It's hard to say that because I'm not sure. It's hard to say that.
Just okay. Explain to you the concept. Yeah.